All right, let's talk about info marketing promotion. Six big ways of getting traffic online. Pay-per-click, you know, Google, Yahoo search. There's other ones. You can always go to pay-per-click searchengines.com and see what the latest going on. Buying advertising, we talked about that. If you go back to your model, I don't even know where my model is, but you know, you remember in the upper left-hand corner, the CPM stuff. Organic search, we have one of the experts here, George. E-zine articles, viral marketing, affiliate programs and partners. I got it underlined there and bolded because that's one of the big ways that I drive my business, so we'll spend a lot more time on that than the other ones. So pay-per-clicks, these are really more like classified ads for the most part. If you look at the best classified ads and compare it to the best pay-per-click ads, they're very similar. You always got a limited amount of space for Google and Overture, Yahoo. It doesn't matter. It's you know, you got a finite room. Also, you can target languages and locations. So if you only want Italian people to see your ads, you can only target Italian people via Google. It's pretty cool. Split testing, that's one of the best features. I don't know if Yahoo Search has that yet or not. Does anyone know?
It's coming out this fall.
Okay. But that's one of the best features of Google, is the split testing. So you can put up a couple different ads and let them show. So if you're buying a keyword like, I don't know, if we're buying horse training as our keyword, well then our little ad that we create, we have a couple different versions of it, and even little tiny changes have big deals. I mean, Perry Marshall is an expert at this, and I'd recommend his products if you really want to get good at this stuff. But he's talked about even things as little as capitalization of a URL versus non-capitalization. All those things have effects. It's really crazy. You know, you use your keyword in the ad for higher click-through. So for horse training, the ad that says, you know, horse training secrets revealed is going to be probably do better than an ad that doesn't have that particular keyword in there. You want to chronicle competitors too. So if you want to pay attention to who's in the marketplace for a while, and you just pay attention to see, okay, what ads are they running, or how long have they, are they still in there? Are they not bidding anymore? So if they're bidding, they're obviously making money, or they're just really dumb and have a trust fund to try and siphon off. I really like, this is really important too, is the negative qualifier. So you can control your lead flow. It's like a faucet, turn on and off, depending on how big you want the lead flow, get more keywords, get it more generic. You wanna get it more specific. You wanna have, like for instance here, we do, like for the figure drawing one, this is our ad, this is the best ad that worked. To make it work, from a money-wise standpoint, where we're getting so many clicks originally without this and nobody was buying, but when we added this little thing as a qualifier, adding the price reduced our number of clicks significantly, but also made it profitable. So this is Missy's little Google AdWords deal. It's the one I use for houseplants, public domain, that's my best one. And that's a tested one. So, you know, you just want to fool around with them. And Google makes it so easy to test different things and try different things.
Yeah, I don't know how many of you use AdWords already, but if you're just getting started in it, you might want to use a heavier budget to start with and get your ads converting at a good rate. And then as they start converting at a good rate, like the click-through rate, like let's say there you get a click-through, you can get as high as 50% if your ads are done right with the keywords in the title. Once you start converting, then you stop dropping your price that you're going to pay for your ads, and Google will keep your ads up higher. And I don't know, I use that quite a bit because some of the markets are pretty competitive. So if you start with a high price and a high budget, as you get a higher click-through rate, you slowly start dropping your price and your ads will stay up at the top because Google measures them based on your click-through rate. So the guys who get the best click-through rates, who write the best ads, you can drop your price and still stay up at the top. Now, I hope that helps some of you.
Great point. Yeah, who else is using pay-per-clicks pretty a lot that wants to talk about anything? Okay.
I'll just give one thing that echoes what you said. I took the www off on the name that showed, and I had a difference between 1.3% click-through and a 2.7% click-through.
Yeah, I mean, little things have tremendous
Especially impact. When you're starting,
really,
and to follow up on that too, really watch what it does for a while, because you really want to keep your control, throw the other things away, just keep testing what works for you.
Right.
I'm not saying www dropping works for you.
Right.
I'm just showing in
just
my example
that,
it did.
That those little things have effect. Okay.
If everybody heard about this recently, but something you can do with your URL is register names, and register the name as www-coca-cola.com, and then you can drop the www and you'll registered name will just look as -coca-cola.com, and people won't actually notice that. You can get Coca-Cola will.
Except for trademark infringement, but
I'm assuming you're not trademarks, but right. You can do that with a lot of different affiliate programs.
That's so cool.
I just wanted to ask a question. More and more often, I've been seeing phone numbers appearing in pay-per-click ads, and I assume, like, I don't know if there's a, you know, someone geeky enough in pay-per-clicks to tell me, like, that's not according to Google's policies, right? You can't just do that.
You're going to give some comment.
No, it's a comment. I'm asking a question. It's a good question. Like, because if you can actually just put your phone number in your pay-per-click ads, well, that, you know, you may not get the click, but you get the lead. I mean, and you don't pay anything for it. I see a lot in timeshares now. A lot. Well, I'm sure. Yeah, I mean,
that's
no kidding.
Cool.
That's
a cool technique if it's not
against Google. I mean, I don't know if it's against... I mean, I looked at it and I'm like, I'm sure that that must be against Google's policies, but if I were you, I would check, because if it's not, you better be doing
that's
it.
That's pretty cool.
Google's testing a pay-per-call service, so that might be tied to that. They're doing a thing where you pay, your lead doesn't click, your lead calls, and they whack you for the call. Perry's what I recommend to family, friends, and my dad was working on a project. I mean, I bought Perry's latest thing. Perry keeps it constantly updated, so I mean, we could talk about it all day. It's things like 200, 300 pages, tons of case studies and stuff, so I mean, I don't get any commissions or anything from it, but I think if you guys are going to get into pay-per-click, the stuff you learn just from him, you can apply to Yahoo, because Yahoo's moving towards the Google model come this fall. If you guys got the emails from them recently, they're changing their platform, doing split testing, all that stuff. So everything you learn and master with the Google platform with split testing and everything, definitely you'll be able to move over to Yahoo, Overture/GoTo, whatever they are of the month. And one other thing too, for Google, you don't have to, if you just want to throw up 100 different ads, they'll optimize. I mean, a little tip, we're talking about split testing stuff. If you don't want to monitor it all the time, you can have them automatically optimize the serving of your ads. So they'll just run through all the different ones, and as one ad starts to come to the top, they'll start serving that one more. I mean, it's more in their interest to get more clicks and charge you more. So if you don't want to sit there, and you're not the type of person that wants to sit in there every single day and delete ones and add new ones, just upload 50 different, like, you know, we're talking about all the different variations.
That's pretty cool.
You're limited by your creativity. So just load up 50 different ones, 20, whatever you want to, and just let it optimize and run for whatever and come back in six months and play.
Cool. Bring it up here. George has another tip.
Just one more point for somebody that are in highly competitive industries like real estate or insurance or anything like that. If you're going to, I'd stay out of the number one spot for the most part and maybe try and, you can set it now on Google to rank between like 3 and 8 or whatever. You want to be on the first page, but if you're going to grab the first couple spots, what happens is, not so much on Google, but on Overture and a few of the other engines, you're going to get guys paying guys in foreign countries to click on your ads, and you can lose a ton of money overnight. You know, you can set your daily budgets, but for certain keywords that get searched a lot, the guys that they pay to click these ads to put their competition out of business, the more generic the keywords that appear near the top are the ones that are going to get clicked the most, and they're going to cost you a fortune. I've done this by experience, so I found out by dropping my ads, my sales and my conversions go up and my clicks go down. So, you know, it's a lot better to stay out of that spot if you can.
Good advice. Here's what Overture Yahoo Search basically looks like. It's just a little bit more text. Here's another just an example of Google AdWords. Here's another cool resource that not everybody knows about that Drew Kossoff really talked a lot about it underground too, was AdBrite. It's a cool way of testing out some text advertising. You can even buy banner ads across a bunch of networks, like big traffic sites. And it's a great way of buying advertising without having to negotiate with each particular site. But then you want to go back, and if it's working, then you can strike deals with them. So AdBrite.com, and you know, for a couple bucks, you can run ads on a bunch of different places. Easing ads, you know, this is another CPM type thing. It's where you're buying and not necessarily knowing what's going to result from it. So you can be a classified or a solo easing ad, and you can go to a directory of easings to find a bunch of easings that you could advertise in, where it's a classified, you know, it's a small little, usually 5-6 lines is what you get, plus a URL line. Solo email, which is cool, where you actually get to send out an entire email coming from that publisher, essentially. And it's almost like an endorsement without paying for endorsement. Use website or better as email. So a lot of times what you can do that's even better, a lot of times you'll send people straight to a website. Now, if you got a forced opt-in capture page, and that's cool because now we're capturing all their info, or at least a percentage of them. I've seen this work better sometimes when you do an email, like usually it's an autoresponder inside the classified ad or inside the solo ad. So the way of responding is via email. Now you're automatically getting them onto that list and you can follow up via autoresponder. And like I said, implied endorsement can be used. So here's some, like an implied endorsement, little classified one, special notice to our readers. All right, so it looks like it's coming from the publisher. And this is just another example, and here's an email one. I wouldn't use this like this now, because let's say you decide to change services at some point, then you're just lost everybody. But I would just set up a redirect. There's an example of that. Number three here in our traffic is organic search. Notice all the question marks that I've put up on the top. I am not an SEO guy whatsoever. I have no clue. I have a little bit of a clue. For sales letters, which is one of my main terms, I'm number three in Google, and I wrote with no freaking clue. And yeah, and George, actually keep that microphone if you could. I want you to just talk just for 2 seconds. I mean, what the big thing that I used to run my business is my affiliate program. And that's where I think a lot of my search engine traffic comes from, just as a byproduct.
Right now there's four, you know, the algorithms are changing all the time, but right now there's four main things really: site structure, content, inbound links, and you still need meta tags. Even though people say they're useless, they're not useless if they're used in conjunction with everything else. So your site structure has to be logical so the search engines can follow it. You need links with your, let's say you're selling, you know, luxury cruises or whatever. You want some link text within your site that goes to a page called Luxury Cruises, with that in the title, with also that in the link text, in your site structure. Sometimes you can beat your competition just with that alone. But inbound links are very important, and they have to be from quality sites. Sometimes we'll go out, find a site that's related. For instance, let's say John Deere tractors related to one of the apparel sites I sell, John Deere shirts or hats or whatever. We'll buy a link off that guy for $100 for the year because he's ranked number two on Google, and then we'll let him sponsor a contest for us and we'll link back to him. So it's a reciprocal link, but it's to two highly ranked sites, so Google regards it as a quality link neighborhood rather than a link farm or something like that. And we've seen, you know, in this case, the ranking went up from like 600 to 8 or something. And that's just, you know, and there's a few directories that you want to be linked in. You want to keep these ones to yourself, but if you want to get your site into business.com, so you need to add something to your site that is related to business, and it's a huge, huge power link. And I don't know, Google must have some kind of a deal with them that you know, they don't let them into that site. You can't get into business.com unless you sell directly to businesses. So you need to put something on your site to get in there. And MSN Small Business, $50 for the year. You want to be in there for sure. You can add 10 links in there. It's one of the biggest bargains on the internet. MSN Small Business, I don't know the exact link. It's like B Central or something. It's hard to find their site, so, you know, it's a little bit. But if you do a search for it on Google, you'll find it. Just Microsoft Small Business Directory.
Don't use MSN.
No. You can use a number of different ones. There's one more service. You want to get into Yahoo. Now, you know, the latest thinking is that Yahoo, you know, buying a link in there for $300 isn't as worth as much because they're doing some kind of redirect on their site. But from experience, I can tell you that getting a link in Yahoo still counts as long as it's used in conjunction with everything else. And then if you can sponsor the category you're in, if you get into the directory and you can sponsor the category for $50 a month or whatever, that can be very powerful too. But again, none of these techniques work unless you use them in conjunction with on-site optimization, your site structure. And the last thing I'd mention is content. Content is huge, and you can beat your competition. Like, we dominated our market with donor walls just by interviewing experts in the nonprofit industry and then, you know, linking back and forth to different articles on our site with the keywords donor walls in the link text. But when you have experts on your site, somehow Google's algorithm and their human reviewers see what you've got on your website. So if you've got a travel site or real estate site and you've got a bunch of optimized content in there with your meta tags and everything, maybe interviewing a real estate expert or something, and you get a good amount of content and it's updated regularly, the search engines will come and the bots will come and they'll index that content. And what happens is eventually, when you get to a point where your competition can't beat you, it's going to cost them a lot of money because they have to create these articles, and they can't just be copying articles from other sites. You got to create this stuff on your own. So all those four things, they should help you get a boost in the search engines. I've done it for about 20 sites now, and we've never had a failure yet.
That's pretty awesome. Obviously, George is a search engine expert, and if you want to. You want to talk to him about specific stuff, definitely catch him on a break. Let's pass the microphone around.
If you're willing to do this, you can start a forum, put a link on the top of your sales page, and get the forum changed, so the PHP forum changed, so that you've got your keywords on every single page on the forum as the banner at the bottom. And then just slowly build a community of people coming, and they'll click on it, run polls. You'll have to start off the forum yourself with a load of sort of different personalities. That's the only way to get it going. That will produce you tons and tons of content going to your that Google will pick up, as long as you change the PHP to be more search engine friendly. You can get that done on ScriptLance for about $20-$30. And I don't know the link. I'll have a look at lunchtime for the link that, so you can know the specs on how to change the PHP forums. But that is a very powerful way of getting your sales letter high up in the.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
Actually, I first have a comment about pay-per-clicks for Google. One thing that I do, I have more so a service business, not selling info product, is that I actually set up competitive ads where I compete against myself within the, on the first page. And what that does is I send some of the clicks to one website and some of the other clicks to other websites. And since doing that, it's actually increased my conversion rate of people going to the site and then calling and then becoming a patient of mine. Or if you have a consulting practice, I guess to become a consulting client. Also, in regard to SEO, I use a particular program that actually I'm not going to mention now, but actually helps to set up the internal link structure, helps to do the on-site optimization, and then all I have to do is get the inbound links. And about, I guess it was about 6 weeks ago when I got the invitation to come to the seminar, I thought that, I tried to put up another site. And I wasn't sure it was going to be indexed in Google, where it was going to be. And it was I indexed it for three keyword phrases that are very specific for the type of treatment that I do. And it turns out that after about 5 weeks or so, they got indexed. And they got indexed at first on the second page. And then without me doing anything else, they bounced up onto the first page for the three keyword phrases I optimized for without any inbound links. And I think the reason, and with a page rank of zero. And I think the reason why is because it's not an incredibly competitive phrases, but they're very targeted. So they're able to deliver very qualified traffic to my website and then with call-throughs. So one issue that I'm having that I find to be a bit of a pain in the neck is trying to get inbound links.
I have a client who sells defibrillators.
I know what they are.
You know what those are? And I mean, he's a really good client. He doesn't realize the gold mine he's sitting on because there's a lot of people are going to have defibrillators in the very near future in their workout rooms and all this kind of stuff. Anyway, I helped him get some links, and it really wasn't hard. All I did was make the suggestion, and he called them. And these are power links, like you were talking about getting links from business.com and stuff like that. He got a lot of links from Cancer Society, from different nonprofits like that who, you know, that this would make sense for them to link to a site like that for defibrillators or that kind of stuff. So
Was it linking to content, or is it linking to...
No, they're just linking to it. He just basically has like a link page, and they're endorsing defibrillators, you know, like the American Heart Association. He got a link from the American Heart Association to his site. And that all of a sudden he got indexed basically overnight by having links from a nonprofit like that. So just, you know, if you've got a tie to a nonprofit and you know, they see it as a benefit, if you can get a link from them, and it really was just him picking up the telephone and call them, hey, I sell defibrillators and we offer great pricing. Would you mind doing this? And that's all it took. And it was like that.
Cool.
If you have a one-page sales letter, what are you selling? Do you have a product, like a book? Bid it out on Elance or Rent-A-Coder and have it broken down into articles, 500 to 600 word articles, and create an article directory on your site and link to it with an invisible link. You don't want everybody to find it, but if you do that and have a menu in there, the search engines will find it and they'll find all those. That's a good way to put content on your site. Another way is take your Q&As. If you get people emailing questions that you ordinarily email back and answer, archive those. Put them on your blog. Put them on your website. That's a good way to get free content. And another way we're doing it is with these social networks. I hired a guy that he goes and posts. There's like 30 or 40 of these social networking sites, and you can post links to your site, and it's a great way to get incoming links for free.
All right. So.
Well, if you do it the right way, I don't know if they frown on this, but just make a link on the top of your page. It's a keyword, whatever you're in the headline is the way we do it. And you just do a text decoration, none, so there's no underline there. I don't know if that's they frown on that, but it seems to get all these articles indexed.
If you want to do the forum thing that he was talking about, there are two major pieces of software out there that are really great for forums. There's phpbb.com. That's a free software program. There's actually a package available for free to do search engine optimization on that. If you're not a coder, go to Elance, get somebody to do it for $50. It's very lengthy. I'd do it anyway, even though I'm a coder. No thanks. It's a pain in the butt. Then there's vbulletin.com. It's $180. I highly recommend it, especially if you think you're going to have a lot of users. PHPBB being free and open source, it's kind of heavy on the server requirements. But vBulletin's a full package. There's a lot of support available for it. They install it real easy. Has search engine optimization already built into it. And it even has a membership thing. So if you want to like do a membership site, does PayPal, and a couple other cart systems. So
cool. Very good.
I'll be the last here. On the PHPBB, just be careful. If you do get a guy to install it, make sure it's the latest version, because I was a member of two different boards, and it got hacked into, and it was very ugly. So just be careful.
And George, you have anything on getting incoming links or anything else?
Obviously, if you want to be an authority in your industry, you want to get links. You want to go to forums. For instance, in one of our cases, we'll post. We used to post on charitychannel.com, and you're allowed to put your signature, your link, in your post. And that's a legitimate site, very high traffic, and it's high. Well, this is in our case, we're in the nonprofit industry in one of our products. So you want to go to a forum that's legitimate, that's considered valuable in Google's eyes, and you want to post there, but you don't want to promote your product, but you want to have your URL, if it's allowed, in the signature, possibly with your keywords. Just to expand on what he was saying back there, as far as the nonprofit links, they're very powerful, and they go along with .edu and .gov. If you can get links to your site from any of them, then you can move up in the rankings dramatically and quickly. It's very difficult to get those links. That's why they value them as more, because an education site's not going to say, you know, go buy whatever. So if you can get a link from there, and it's doable, you just have to establish relationships with the universities or whatever, you can get it done. And the last thing I'll mention is regarding the pay-per-click and the organic. If you haven't done organic yet and you're doing pay-per-click, you'll probably want to think about doing organic for the reasons, like I like to call it double branding. If you can have your pay-per-click running on the right-hand side and your name also appears in the middle, it gives you instant credibility, and we've seen a rise in conversion rates and sales just from doing the double branding thing, getting ranked on both. So they say, well, we don't want to run pay-per-click because
right,
we're in the organic listings.
That's what I think.
But it doesn't work like that. Why not increase your sales by running both? I don't know why it works. It just works.
Oh, that's smart. Very cool. Good tip.
This is more just a question for you. I read that linking, having PDFs on the site helps you to have content that Google loves, and so you can get basically this content from PDFs. Any experience of that?
Okay, last question. Do you know anything about the PDF?
That's
last thing, and then we'll move on from search engines.
Google will pretty well index anything, though. So if you have PDFs on your site, I would link to them with your keywords in the title, because Google can somehow go in there and read them. And so if you have a link to PDF on travel tips or whatever, put a link to the PDF with the words travel tips in the link text, and Google will look at that, and it'll look at the other thing, and it'll also look at video, flash files, whatever, and it can go in there and dig and pull it out. You might not get exactly what you want, but it'll help some.
Make sure you have links to your site inside the PDF. I mean, you know, George has obviously done a ton of search engine stuff. Alan, seems like you've done some. I highly recommend Jeff Johnson, for those of you that know him and want to get into this crazy search engine world. I mean, for me, my personal thoughts are, I just want to do something and, you know, walk away. Just don't bother me anymore. But it's like, you know, search engine stuff to me is like quicksand, but people love it because, I mean, obviously there's huge payoffs if you can control search. So anyway, Jeff Johnson, I'd recommend him as well.
Don't discount the power of press releases for inbound links.
That's
and
great.
They don't have to be reciprocal links at all either. My SEO guy tells me to stay away from them. I'm number one on Google for radio jobs and TV and radio jobs. I got a lot of educational links coming into me one way, but the press releases have been powerful for my splash page.
What service do you use to get your press releases?
PRWeb.
PRWeb.
Uh-huh.
PRWeb.com.
Yeah, there's some freebies and low cost ones. You can pay, you know, 10 bucks to 30, 40 bucks, depending upon what you want. But I always end up getting free inbound links, no matter what
that's
I send
great.
Out there. May not get a call from anybody, but I get those links.
That's a great tip. Thanks, Michael. Easing articles. All right, here's another way that you can get some good traffic into your site. And Jim Edwards is really one of the experts at this. So is Jason Potash with, what the hell is this thing called? ArticleAnnouncer.com. Jim has one, Turn Words Into Traffic. Both of those great resources for you. Cool thing about easing articles, it's like you're the expert, so you get some expertise going from that. I usually limit them to 500 to 1,000 words. Resource box is the key there. It's like the quid pro quo. So these editors or sites that need content, what they're doing for you is distributing your content, but and you're giving them good content in exchange. You get a resource box. So publishers need content. Great way of getting incoming traffic, incoming links, ongoing traffic forever. So that's one of the things that I like about it. If somebody posts your article up on their site, it's going to be there forever, pretty much, because most people are lazy and don't change their sites. So the more we can get that, better. Quick little formatting resource is a program called NoteTab Lite is what I use a lot. I think it's at notetablite.com. You just hit like Control J or something. You originally set it to, you know, you want to have your articles distributed at 65 characters or less or something like that if you're doing text articles. So I set the little margin to 65, and then it's like Control J and it automatically sets it for you, which is cool. Here's some directories where you can submit articles. Is this one of yours, Angela? No, it's not. This one?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, easingarticles.com is one. All these other ones here, Article Announcer, like I mentioned. This is a really good one, Marketing Desk Seek. Easing Articles is probably the biggest one. Chris Knight was at Underground 2 talking about that and what he does to build AdSense revenue from people's content that they submit. So, but you know, it works a lot of ways for you. I think I got some examples here of articles that I've written. Just real simple stuff. You want to just pay attention to the resource box, page 663. Page 666 is another resource box you can look at. Something else that I've had success with, and we'll talk about that when we get into affiliates, is giving them articles and letting them change the resource box to their own link. 669 is another one. Okay, viral marketing. Hard to control what goes viral. You can't decide really what's going to go viral. It's really, really tough to try and make something go viral. I mean, I did pretty well with Autoresponder Magic and $1 million emails. Those were designed specifically to try and get spread out all over, man. And you know, it can be incentivized, like what I did with, you know, the money that you're allowed to sell it or give it away or so on. And you know, a lot of the stuff that goes viral, like they have on VH1, the web 2.0 or whatever the hell it is, web junk, that you can see like the top 20 videos that have gone viral, and a lot of videos go viral, but it's like, you know, like a baby humping a little baby doll or something. So you know, how does that really help you? So it's hard to control what goes viral. We've done stuff where I thought would go viral, like I don't know how many of you saw the little flash game that we designed for the Underground Online Seminar, where you were like the, you know, the secret agent, and you got your mission, and you had to go find the little pieces, and then we had a whole little parody song that we had created, and all this stuff. I'm like, oh, this is gonna be cool. It's gonna get a lot of buzz in the community. It was like dead. Nobody. I mean, you had a handful of people wrote back, thought that was really cool, but it wasn't. It didn't go.
With regards to viral marketing, and of course, you know, being associated with Mike Filsaime and Butterfly Marketing, it's kind of a packaged approach to creating virality. The other side of that equation, where it's less marketing directed, is to understand the new media. And you know, from a product creation standpoint, there's a lot of opportunity in new media, podcasts and video podcasts, and of course what Andrew, is it right? Yes, what Andrew is doing. I mean, all of these things are the new media. The fact of the matter is the ability to create what appears to be very high-end, almost newsreel-worthy stuff in our own rooms is incredible now. And what happens is a great way to, and you're exactly right, it's hard to build for buzz, because buzz happens. That's like the market determines price, that old mantra that we had from the
we can get it out there and ignite it, but it's got to be up to the individual person.
So the only thing I would say is a great way to get buzz is to try to borrow off of the other media activity. And you, when you mentioned creating products, somebody mentioned a Da Vinci Code as an example. The degree to which you can leech onto or even create a mockumentary, if you will, with the new media, create a mockumentary of something that's big news, that's a pretty believable or pretty consistent way to get to create an epidemic and get epidemiology.
Yeah, I mean, you can look back at like the old, remember when it was Gore and Bush and their little My Land is Your Land thing, the jib jab thing. I mean, that went all over the place. So a lot of it is if it's fun, and you know, fun doesn't always get passed along. I mean, you can make something really fun. If it's stupid, it gets passed along sometimes. If it's money making, you'll get passed along. There is some incentive there. A lot of, you know, some of the guys here in the network marketing business, so that's all about the duplication there. It's, you know, it's up to the user to decide if they want to make it viral or not. And one of the best examples, and then selling info products related to it, was Morgan Westerman from Underground One, interview with God.com. And he's got a great thing. It's like a beautiful flash presentation, and it's just inspirational. So sometimes inspirational is viral. I mean, obviously it was in his case, where people just wanted to send along these things that made them feel good about it. And I, you know, look in your email box too. That's where you're gonna find a lot of viral ideas, because if stuff gets passed on to you and you keep seeing it more and more, then you can come up with something. You know, like I said, hard to control, so it's not one of my absolute favorites to use. This is my favorite, and we'll probably finish this and then go to lunch. Getting hundreds, even thousands of salespeople working for you. This is affiliate marketing, and in its basic sense, affiliates are really, it's like, they're kind of like your commissioned salespeople, but you don't have to pay them anything until they make a sale. So you can drive all this traffic to your site from your affiliates, and only if they're making, if that person that they've referred makes a sale or buys something, then you're paying them. And this is originally, I don't know how accurate these numbers are now, but it's 50% of my traffic and 40% of my sales. We have over, I don't know, like 39,000 affiliates, something like that. In the first month, we had 138% return on investment, so it's just huge, huge, huge. Here's some software. So you need software to run this thing. And there's pros and cons. I don't know, is anyone a CJ or Linkshare merchant here? Alan, you are? Okay, actually, let's get your feedback on that. Let's pass the microphone back to you. CJ.com, Linkshare, they're kind of a do-it-for-you service where you have to pay. I don't know what their pricing structure is anymore, but they run your affiliate program essentially for you, and they got a network of affiliates that are part of CJ or Linkshare that you can tap into.
I'll tell you, it is very expensive. I know we went to Linkshare and CJ to do our printing thing, thinking that we were going to try to compete against the Vista side, you know, Vista Print for our stuff. And based on the numbers and what they wanted and all that, I mean, you really need to have some bucks, because like Linkshare up front, they wanted us to pay them in advance to set all this stuff up, and the numbers they were looking at, I mean, they immediately wanted $20,000 from us to set up our account, you know, based on numbers that we were going to do and all this stuff, and it just wasn't worth it. I mean, for us anyway. CJ, we talked to and stuff like that. I happen to know the guy who originally created CJ before he sold it. And he basically, I went to him first to ask him about it. He talked me out of it as well, saying for what we're doing, stay where you're at. If, you know, unless you've got a lot of money you want to throw at it and you're a corporate, right, you know, guy, then basically it wasn't worth the time.
Yeah, most of the merchants in there are really big merchants like Sharper Image and so on, or 1-800-Flowers. I think most of us can do it on our own much better, much cheaper. Plus, we don't have to. We can pay a higher percentage out to affiliates, and it makes it worthwhile. So here's a couple of the softwares. This is the one that I use, is Synergix.com. I don't think any of these softwares are ideal. None of them have absolutely everything that you want. And I'll talk about some of the important features. SwissTrack is Corey, well now Derek's. No BS Shopping Cart is essentially one shopping cart clone. Groundbreak, clickbank.com. ClickLink's only for digital, though. I can't remember who gave us that tip yesterday, or Jeff did. Thanks. How you can sell physical on there, too. So here's some important features. I'll talk about real fast. ClickBank, like a couple advantages of ClickBank. We'll talk about some advantages of the other ones. ClickBank is you already got, I don't know how many people they claim they have, Jeff, selling ClickBank stuff. Over $100,000 is what they publicly admit to, or 100,000 affiliates that can promote your stuff. Now, that's like a made-up number because you're not going to get 100,000 people promoting, you know, if you come out with instant thank you letters or something. You're not going to get all those people promoting it. And, I mean, they've actually kind of dropped the ball because there's no way of, like, you promoting to those affiliates, like a new offer or whatever. I mean, CJ does a pretty good job of that. All these other ones will be run from your own server for the most part. I think AssociTrack and NoBS or One Shopping Cart, they both run off of their servers, which is one of the things I don't like about it. So here's some important features you want to think about. Real-time stats for affiliates to check. Obviously very important to know if they're making any money. Ability to export affiliate information into files for easy payment and administrative work. We'll talk about some nuts and bolts. But what I do is I pay my affiliates via PayPal MassPay. I found that pretty easy to do. It's just a real simple export into an Excel file, and then we turn it into a text file.
Yeah, my wife's an accountant, so that's why we do a lot of what we do and the way we pay affiliates and stuff like that. But the way we do it is we also do very similar to what he does, and so you keep very little money in PayPal. But I pay all my affiliates through, not all of them, but the majority that I pay through PayPal also goes straight to my American Express card because it makes my limit really big. I still got to pay it. I still got to pay the American Express bill, but I get huge points. I'll get 150,
like
200. I get 200,000 points a month roughly on my American Express card.
I like that. Yeah, I was just in a room at the road rally. It was like we're hanging out in some guy's room, and everyone like whipped out their Black American Express card. I'm like, damn it, I want one of those.
I'll talk about this a little bit. In a past brick and mortar business, somehow somebody got hold of a check that we had locked up in a cabinet, and took it to that software that they were talking about, and started printing their own checks. And luckily, we were getting statements from the bank. We were having them send us our balance every day because we were watching our cash flow at that time. And all of a sudden, these checks started showing up for $10,000, $17,000, $30,000 that somebody was just writing and putting in. Now, if we hadn't been getting a daily balance, it's like, wait a second, who wrote this check? Where did it go? So, I don't care what kind of business you're in. If you're doing something where lots of people have access to your bank account number, it's probably not a bad idea to have a separate account, and it's not a bad idea to have some arrangement with your bank where you're getting a statement on a daily basis of what's going through there, and just take a peek at it, because that's, I'll tell you what, that saved us. We actually caught who was doing it. The ATF effed up the whole legal proceedings on it, so the guy got away with it. But I'm telling you, it's worth, if you can get a daily, just right. Get a daily balance, it'll save you a lot of headaches.
Yeah, you need to be vigilant. All right, so some important features on your affiliate software. We talked about this. Ability for affiliates to be credited for the sale months or even years later if their referred visitor buys. This is not as important in some marketplaces. Highly competitive marketplaces, more and more you see people paying their affiliates on ongoing sales. And I think it makes a big difference because affiliates want that. So you can get better affiliates. Actually, when I moved to this type of structure, our profit margin went down about 10% straight out of my pocket. But I think I got better affiliates and they're happier. Can it handle a two-tier program? Now, what a two-tier means is I don't go beyond two tiers for an affiliate program. And And, you know, we have some networking guys here, and I don't, you know, sometimes the government gives us conflicting information on what is and what isn't a multi-level type deal. But a two-tier is, you know, let's say, Marco, you're my affiliate, you're driving traffic into my site, and then Alex, you're one of the people who came in from Marco. Now, Alex, you sign up as an affiliate and start promoting my stuff. So now a two-tier means that you get a commission on and anything that Alex sells. And now it can go beyond three-tier, four-tier, five-tier, seven-tier. I mean, that's what network marketing is. Quick comment or thing?
Quick question. Can you break down, like, what is a typical, like, typically when you have one-tier, 50%, but if you have two-tier, how does that work with
Marco? Okay. Alex is asking, what's the typical payment structure on?
On two-tier.
On two-tier, yeah. Our payment structure was 45% on first tier, 5% on second tier. And the reason I had such a big disparity is because I don't want people just going out recruiting other people and not actually selling stuff. So that was my thinking behind it. So it's just a small amount. Now I have done it where on occasion I have somebody come in, I think we've done this, I can't remember for sure, or I've advised someone to do it, or I'm in a position where I get it. Somewhere where there's like almost like a master affiliate type arrangement and I know they got a lot of contacts. And so I give them a bigger second tier to go out and recruit people that they have personal relationships with. Can it work on multiple websites? That's really important. So you don't want to always be paying for additional licenses or whatever. So if you start bunches of all of these little oil derricks, you want to have your affiliate software be able to work on it and be able to integrate on it. Can affiliates place codes on their links for tracking? So Synergix will do this. And I think a lot of them will also do it too, so that the affiliate is able to track, like let's say they're doing pay-per-click keywords or they're doing banner ads or whatever, all the things that we talked about before, can they get real specific data from their stats on what's going on? And the way ours work would be like instantsalesletters.com/?1234! exclamation point, and then that's a tracking ID. Can you pay different commissions to different affiliates? That's really important because we'll talk about recruiting super affiliates in just a little bit. And paying them different commissions is really important because, all right, we pay 45% to a regular person, but to a super affiliate, it might be 50, it might be 60% on a digital product. Some people 70, 80%. And your software's gotta have that ability to pay multiple people different things. How simple is it to get software support? I mean, we don't even need to talk about that. If you don't have support for a particular software, it's a pain in the ass. Is installation and integration provided? So all these things you want to think about. Other important features, ability to email all affiliate announcements. Synergix does not have this. So what we do is when everybody signs up as an affiliate, they actually get signed up via AWeb or a particular list for affiliates that we have. And we'll talk about integration nuts and bolts later on today. Ability to automatically add affiliates and give referral IDs. So you want your software, if you're going to have your program open up to a whole lot of people, you don't want to be sitting there approving 40,000 people. Now there's the other way of playing it, and I'll talk about that probably after lunch, but you can do either like opening up your program to the entire world, or you can open it up to a tiny, small, select group of people. Like I run Dan Kennedy's newsletter affiliate program, and we only have like 150 affiliates that Bill Glazer made a public number that was responsible for $4 million in sales. And I got 40,000 on this one side. So you can get a whole lot out of a small amount of affiliates, and there's two ways to play it. Notification of sales for affiliates. You know, affiliates love to get that email that, I mean, I've personalized it, so now it says like, ka-ching, do a little money dance, you just made whatever. And they love that. It's a lot of fun. Full integration with your shopping cart, order processing system, so, and multiple payments if possible, like PayPal. So if you're taking multiple payments, will the affiliate get credit for that? I see a lot of ClickBank merchants sites where they got ClickBank and then they got PayPal. And PayPal before was not integrated with ClickBank, and there was just, you know, it was just, as your affiliate, you're just losing money sending traffic there, so you're not gonna send that much traffic there. This is actually pretty important. Whatever the link that is generated, is it an emailable link? So if it's like this huge, long link, right, it's gonna get cut off, and the most important part that gets cut off is the part that, yeah. Now, we'll talk about some advanced strategies as an affiliate and as an affiliate manager and then also, does your affiliate ID brand your site, or does it work off the affiliate? So, instantsalesletters.com/?1001 versus this site right here for one shopping cart. One shopping cart is getting the links coming in, and they're getting the page rank, right, George? Would that be correct? So if my affiliate link looks like that versus that, I'm not getting any credit for that for search engine stuff. To me, this is much better. Nobody knows what a blah, 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 ASP, question mark. That doesn't brand you at all. All right, so here's some secrets for affiliate programs from really making it sell. You want to think like an affiliate. These guys want the highest payout possible. They want to get paid multiple times if possible, you know, depending on the marketplace. They want assurance that they're going to get paid. They want real-time tracking. They want proven tools. I mean, that's really important, the tools, because affiliates are just lazy, like we talked about, the fish products. So this all goes back, my thinking on this is all the same pretty much everywhere, is what can I do to just give people everything on a silver platter if possible? So we give them promotions, you know, banner ads, easy ads, text links, code for pop-ups, fill-in-the-blank endorsement emails, any kind of content. We'll talk more about this as an advanced secret, so content that pays. And once we got our program going, once our site actually sells, which is a big caveat, we'll talk about that in just a moment, but a lot of people get so excited about having this ability to have hundreds or thousands of people selling their stuff that they don't make sure that their site actually sells first. And you have to have a proven sales process. So once you got that, though, you can open it up, announce it to the world, unless you're going to do a very closed program like we'll talk about later. So associateprograms.com is the biggest place to announce it. Here's some other links for you. You want to motivate people to sign up using the exact same direct response techniques that you use in your sales process. I see this a lot where people just say, join our affiliate program, and that's it. You know, why? Who cares? What's the benefit? And you want to use the exact same, like on next page over, 678. I think we have a slide of it. You can see we got a headline. Join now for free. Here's testimonials. Here's proof we have an award that we won. Here's telling them that they can sell potentially this much because we have all these additional products and bullet points of what we do for them and assurance that they're getting paid and the best affiliate tracking software and all this stuff. So, you know, use solid direct response techniques, use testimonials, make it easy for people to sign up, but don't make it too easy for certain people. Where's Andrew? We'll cover it when he does turn off the tape. But I have a very specific affiliate program where we actually limit out certain countries because, you know, not because I'm prejudiced or anything like that. It's just because there's a higher incident of fraud in particular countries. Keep training and motivating your affiliates. I think the easiest way to do this is via an autoresponder sequence. So once they join up as part of your program, it's going to be the exact same motivation and training no matter when they join up. So why not put it on autoresponder? Leverage your time again. And, you know, the first sequence, actually, I think I got a sequence in here for you. We'll find it in a second. But here's another program just to show you a quick difference. This is a real, you know, simple, basic one for Get Fit While You Sit. Earn a 40% commission on every order of Get Fit While You Sit. And, it, you know, it just explains, you know, three steps. This is for ClickBank affiliate program. And then here's the big warning about affiliate programs that we talked about is nobody wants to be a guinea pig for your program. So make sure that your site sells. It's so, so damn important to make sure that it sells. I mean, it's so critically important because let's say you approach a big potential partner and they have a nice sized list or good traffic coming in and they send a lot of people over to your site and they get like one sale. Unless you're selling like a $50,000 product with a huge commission, they're not going to be very, very happy to cash that check for $112, and they're not going to promote your stuff anymore. I mean, it's as simple as that. Here's some examples. Page 682 is an example of an affiliate toolbox. So you can see all the stuff that we give them. Page 693 is an example of the Get Fit While You Sit toolbox. So you can see just a more scaled down version of what we give them. And then 699, actually we'll save that for after lunch. Let's talk about real fast recruiting some top affiliates. The internet's made it nice and easy for us to find people who are getting traffic, that have lists for the most part. And I tracked them down. I mean, when I first started Instant Sales Letters, what I did is I just went to the search engines and typed in sales letters. So who's the top 10 ranking there? Who's getting traffic for sales letters. Obviously, those people are getting traffic that I want. I went to their sites individually, so it's not spam. I actually went there personally, looked at what they're doing, you know, how they're doing it, and thought, okay, is this guy or this gal, are they a potential good partner for me? Could they be a good seller of this thing? You know, if it's a big, huge corporation, it's gonna be pretty tough to get them as an affiliate, right off the bat anyway. So all I did is track them down, use like betterwhois.com, which gives you administrative contact, and you can contact the people behind the website sometimes. You know, a lot of times there's also, they're blocked, so it's like a proxy type thing, so you gotta contact them via the site or via faxes or via FedEx and so on. Angela, let me get you the microphone. Yeah. Hold on, where's the mic?
Just a quick tip on the problem of finding your affiliates, or finding anybody for that matter. There's a little trick that I use. It's the site used to be whois.sc. I think it's whois.domaintools.com or something now.
Okay.
But when you go on there, if they have the privacy installed on their site, just look and see if they have two things. One, the DNS sometimes gives away who really owns the thing.
Mm-hmm.
If the server technical contact and DNS are different, more than likely the guy that owns it's, you know, is the DNS. The second is really cool. Some of the, not all, but some of the domains will have other IPs on this, reverse IP lookup is what it is. And if it's 17 sites on the server, more than likely what's happening is it's a private server. So whoever owns the private server normally never takes their name off of it. So they go by the server, they put their name on it, then they hide all their other domains. But you can find it by looking at those 17 domains.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right. What I did is I sent out an email to, it was like 20 people originally just to get started. And we just said, hey, you know, I have this affiliate program for something that I have an idea for your site. I think it really matches well with what you're doing, and it pays a 45% commission. You want to take a look, here's the password for it. And we got, I don't know, like 8 of those people, some of those people originally to sign up. And then what I did was I said, be persistent, but don't be a pain in the ass. Got results back from affiliates. So those first affiliates, we did case studies, testimonials, we just went back to them with results. So went back to that other list of these are my ideal affiliates, and I went back to them and said, okay, this is, you know, here's what happened with so-and-so, and so now it's a proven thing. So now it's even easier to get more people, and you kind of want to stair step up with smaller affiliates in some cases, and then you work your way up to bigger super affiliates. A lot of times they want to know the exact numbers, so if they're going to be driving people to the site, it's helpful for them to know numbers. Yeah, Michael.
When you were soliciting affiliates, did you have an idea, even though these people ranked high, that they were actually going to go out and work? Did they have an affiliate experience, or did you approach them just because you saw that there was a natural fit? And then if so, how did you know that they were going to promote your stuff?
Some of them probably were promoting other people's stuff. Some of them definitely weren't, I know. And I just took, it's basically like your wish list, your dream list of people that you want, and you keep contacting them. And so, yeah, I had no clue if they'd promote it or not.
Would you do it any differently today, knowing what you know about it? See, the big thing for me is it sounds like an awful lot of work, and I just don't have the time. Is there any company that, for somebody that's not a fat cat, that can pay thousands of dollars each month to run this, that'll actually just set up your affiliate program for you and kind of manage it?
It's not that big a deal, actually. I mean, I run it all in-house myself. I mean, you start small, and then you build up bigger and bigger, and then you can bring in somebody to manage it. It's a huge profit center. I mean, it's worth it. It's so worth it. You know, you don't want to go to CJ and pay $25,000 or whatever the case is, but my affiliate program is my biggest source of traffic and income, and so I find it well worthwhile to spend time and do it, and it's not that hard administering it. It's like one time a month you're cutting checks or sending PayPal payments, and once you set up the tools and different things like that, it's, you know, once again, what I'm into is the leverage, setting it up once and getting paid over and over. Now I have a sliding scale, like for instance, I said 45% for instance sales letters, it's a digital product. Now the way Synergix works is actually by dollar amount. So you can set different things. So after a certain dollar amount, it drops down to 35%. After a higher dollar amount, it drops down to 25%. So people that sell the underground seminar, if they're just regular affiliates, get 25%.
Okay. So what do
super affiliates get more?
But most of the seats at the underground, for like a big ticket item like that, most of the seats were probably filled by you directly, right?
They were. They were about 60%, 65, 70% were filled by me, and about 30, 35, 40% were filled by affiliates.
Wow, that's very high by the affiliates.
That's
normal, right? I mean, for you, but you said 40% of your
income. Yeah, I mean, a lot of my income is based on the affiliates.
Yeah. May I make a comment on that? The reason I said that is because I've talked to a lot of big-time promoters, and they said they're happy if they can get 5 to 10% of their seats sold by people other than them. So, I mean, that number is very, very impressive.
Well, I'll show you guys some stuff that we've done to get affiliates to promote it in the advanced secrets. We'll talk about after lunch.
Just one question. The tools that you were talking about that you set up for your affiliates, do you have your technical guy just put together all these tools for you?
I've done them myself. I mean, most of them were just really low-tech stuff,
so
like
you're
using
a little
articles.
Bit more no, technical savvy no, than you're saying.
There's no tools. I didn't
coming
put up,
out. Okay.
I didn't put up the page or like the pop-up code. I tell him to write that. I have no clue about that.
Okay.
And like graphics, we got a graphic guy to write it. Yeah. Okay. Actually, I write code in the spare time. I'm on an Elance. I'm the top coder right now.
I want to hire you for a project.
No, I mean, all the stuff that I create for the affiliates is mostly copy driven. So that's what I create for them.
I personally have one super affiliate that if I mention his name, everyone in this room will know who he is. And this is an internet marketing type person. Okay. That's how you know him. But he's a genius with traffic. And so for like every one visitor that my typical affiliate sends me, this guy's sending me 1,000 visitors. I mean, that's just how big it is. And honestly, the way I landed it was just a FedEx box. And it was only because I heard him at a teleseminar mention something remotely related to what I do. And I said, hey, let me latch on to this. And that's how I got him.
Yeah, that's cool. And we'll talk about some unique approaches after lunch. Leo, you got some cool stuff that you've done. Like Michael, you're saying it's a lot of work. You probably want to go with the smaller affiliate program, and we'll talk about that after lunch too, the other direction of only having even a dozen affiliates, 10 of them, because your marketplace is so specialized that you don't need 40,000 affiliates. And, you know, the admin on 40,000 is a little bit more than on 100 of them. I mean, it's actually not that much admin because... Yes, thank you, Paula. Math lesson number two. All right, so let's take an hour.